Fridays are all something we can appreciate. In less than 9 minutes, you'll see just how much we've appreciated them through the years. I'm Carl Azus. Welcome to CNN Student News. First up, the U.S. is looking for support in fighting ISIS. It's a brutal terrorist organization that's taken over about a third each of Iraq and Syria. ISIS has murdered scores of people who don't share its extreme Islamic views. It wants to create a country based on those views and declare war on the Western world. Iraqi forces have been fighting ISIS with support from U.S. airstrikes. President Obama has authorized surveillance flights in Syria. That's expected to lead to U.S. airstrikes there, too. Yesterday, the White House held a meeting to discuss other ways to take on ISIS.
Let's start with this sobering thought. ISIS is not just a local Iraqi or Syrian problem, because in addition to the massive amounts of territory it has captured in Iraq and Syria, it is now already threatening Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey. And as Americans, the great concern is that they also have their sights set even further afield. Intelligence officials believe that there are about 1,000 Westerners fighting for ISIS in Iraq and Syria, among them about 100 Americans. And it's the belief of U.S. intelligence officials that they are being trained and encouraged to carry out attacks when they return home. In fact, it's believed that ISIS veterans have already carried out 2 attacks in Europe. The fear is that they will carry out many more going forward. Now, U.S. intelligence and counterterror officials are tracking ISIS veterans as best as they can when they attempt to go home. The trouble is, even they will admit that this is happening as U.S. intelligence capabilities are declining. For one, human intelligence, known as HUMINT in the intelligence community, has declined, virtually non-existent in Syria, and it's decreased in Iraq after the U.S. withdrew U.S. forces from Iraq. Much of the intelligence done there by the U.S. military. Two, what's happening is what's called SIGINT. Signals intelligence is declining as well. In the post-Snowden era, terrorists don't communicate the way they used to, on cell phones, by email, on internet websites, and that's also decreasing the ability of intelligence agencies to track their movements. Iraq and Syria are just 2 failed states that are now home to a terrorist group with international aspirations. There are others in Libya, in Yemen, and Somalia. And when I speak to U.S. intelligence officials, they say that nothing keeps them up at night more than the threats emanating from there.
Another conflict U.S. officials are watching is in Ukraine. It's a nation divided between East and West. On one hand, many Ukrainians want closer ties with the European Union, the West. Their new government sees that as the future of Ukraine. But other Ukrainians, especially in some eastern regions, are aligned with Russia. Some have been fighting for independence from Ukraine. Western leaders accuse Russia of supporting these rebels with troops and weapons. Russia's denied that repeatedly, but a U.S. official says as many as 1,000 Russian troops crossed the border into Ukraine Thursday to fight alongside the rebels. The U.S. is warning Russia of new sanctions, economic penalties, if it doesn't pull back.
Putin's annexation of Crimea and his support for the pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine has raised his popularity with the Russian people. His ratings haven't been so high since he went to war with another former pro-Western neighbor, Georgia, in 2008. For years, Putin has made keeping Ukraine from joining the European Union and NATO a major strategic goal. But the recent ouster of pro-Russian President Viktor Yanukovych has really weakened his influence there. One way to stop Ukraine from joining the West is to make it too unstable by keeping this insurgency running. But sticking with the separatists brings Putin problems on the international front. There's no smoking gun against Russia for the downing of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, but the Western world says Putin's support for the separatists has led to this tragedy. The U.S. and Europe have already imposed sanctions against Russian companies. Entire sectors of the Russian economy could be next. It's already been teetering on the brink of recession for months. And the damage done to Russia's world image from the conflict will take years to undo. In the choice between appeasing the Russian public and antagonizing the West, it appears Vladimir Putin has no good options.
For more than 7 weeks in the Middle East, explosions have been almost constant in Israel and Gaza. Relative silence settled over the region in the past few days. No missiles from Israeli airstrikes, no rockets from the Hamas-controlled territory of Gaza. It's a truce, and as of last night, it was holding. The most recent flare-up between Hamas and Israel killed about 2,200 people. previous ceasefires have come and gone. One thing that sets this one apart is that it's open-ended. There's no expiration date. Doesn't resolve any major issues between the two sides, but they've both agreed to negotiate in the days ahead.